So glad you're alongside on Monumental Sports Network. BK and Jimmy P, we're ready for some 8-10 basketball in the nation's capital.
Where my dogs at? We right here, dog. Where my dogs at? Right here, dog. Where my dogs at? We right here, dog. Now where my dogs at?
I said, get at me. Ain't talking to you, no, but that rap me. Get at me. Austria skin seats like it's acne. Get at me. Never tacky jeans made by acne. Governor Pataki's in Pataki.
All right, it's time for the Cougar Cuties.
This is Jimmy P from the Monumental Sports Network in the nation's capital, listening to my favorite Atlantic 10 podcast.
Number one in the A-10.
The Two Ramblers with Dobber and Sammy D. Next time you guys are in the DMV, let's go to Stoney's and get some crab cakes. Over to you, boys.
Jimmy Patsos. Nice.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Shout out to those guys. What a great broadcast the other day. They took some criticism from, you know, the loyal intelligentsia because I guess they're not as neutral as our Midwestern broadcasters or something. I don't know. I found them very entertaining.
That was a quintessential DMV fellers. I mean, those guys I see all the time in this area and loved every minute of it. I seriously did. I am curious to watch more GW basketball because of Jimmy Patsos.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting when I go to another city, I don't go to Chipotle for dinner. Try to have the local cuisine.
I try to never a chain.
So when we're on a road trip, I want to kind of hear what it's like there. I kind of want to hear that vibe. I also love, guys, when we're winning, to see the other announcers discover our team in real time.
Yes.
You know, if we roll back the clock, and we'll do in a second to talk about the George Mason game. I mean, they discovered Sheldon Edwards during the game.
Oh yeah, they're like, who's this guy?
Yeah, when those guys prepped, they had Dez. Okay, Dez Travis from Davidson, we know him, and then yep, Phil Alston was a second teamer.
California,
So they know Braden Norris. They kind of know those guys, and then all of a sudden, Sheldon Edwards goes crazy, and it's just fun to hear them discover the guys while we're beating them. So
yes.
So this idea that we're gonna just turn off the sound of any other broadcasters and, you know, we're only going to listen to Loyola people. That's a scarcity mindset. It's a weird scarcity mindset.
Why not make fun of it in the sense of make a bingo or a drinking game as they find these guys out? Let's have fun with it. Why are we being so critical?
Yeah, I think it's funny. I mean, I do really feel like we were critical of the St. Louis broadcast because it's only like they didn't even prepare anything.
Yes, that has merit.
Whereas this guy like knew some stuff about our coach. He knew, you know, he played at Oakland. He knew Braden played at Oakland. Wait, what?
Oakland. Yes.
Yeah, but yes. I think he thought they played together at one point. Would that be right? Yeah, Braden passes to Drew Valentine.
This is hilarious. Okay, so I had to look up our guy, Coach Jimmy P. On Wikipedia, and he has this quote. He coached at Loyola Maryland, so he's a Loyola guy. Hello. According to most of America who doesn't recognize there are multiple Loyolas. But anyway, he's coached against Stephen Curry, Steph, when he played at Davidson. And they guarded Steph with three guys, and basically, or two guys, they double teamed him the whole game. And so they played essentially 3-on-4 and they ended up losing by 30. But he said, and I quote, "We had to play against an NBA player tonight. Anybody else ever hold him scoreless? I'm a history major. They're going to remember that we held him score us or we lost by 30. I'm sorry.
Wait, so did they hold him scoreless?
Yes,
but we
lost by 30.
He goes, he's basically saying, and if I could do him, he's like, what are they going to remember? That we held them scoreless or that we lost by 30? You make the call.
Wait. I know the fans are mad at me, but I had to roll the dice as far as a coach goes. I'm not some rookie coach.
Nice. I'm not title. Some rookie coach. Yeah, I'm trying to get that mid-Atlantic. It's like Boston with a slight. It's like a slight Boston. Yeah.
So, yeah, Jimmy P was, I found him absolutely hilarious, and we'll talk more about him. When we get to
I had insights. We'll talk more about it. This is an amazing week. I was trying to remember. I'm sure it was in that season 2 years ago when we were, had a 20 plus win season that we had two road wins, but I can't remember the last two road wins. Do you remember like a road trip where we went and,
I looked it up from a previous, podcast and I had it and I don't have it now. It obviously was in the last year we were in the Valley. But as to what it was, I'm drawing a blank.
Well, it's weird. I don't even know if we considered them like a road trip because the Ramblers probably would have come back if they played in Evansville, they would have come back and then went to SIU. So it wouldn't have felt quite like this where they were actually on the road for 5 days. I thought it was pretty cool that they were actually in the nation's capital and they were visiting the monuments, but then they also worked out at Georgetown. I don't know if you saw that on Twitter.
I did see that.
So that's kind of cool. I mean, what kind of basketball player isn't somewhat enamored with Georgetown? I mean, I would visit Georgetown if I was there. So I think that's pretty cool that they got to actually practice at Georgetown. So,
a neat opportunity for a road trip. This is now their second one that they've done like this. They did the one where they went to Fordham and then moved down to my area to play VCU. And so, again, it affords us the ability to, in the A-10, to kind of have this, more of a mental and a more of a mental challenge as well as a physical. Because, we all think, traveling on, private jets and that kind of stuff is, all easy and stuff. But, it can be difficult on the body. I mean, there's a lot of teams, a lot of times you'll see even professionals, they play that second game on the road, they struggle. And so to see our team, yes, they may have lost to VCU as the second game on the road trip, but they played well. And then now to back it up on this trip where they knew this GW team, this was, a potential trap game or a potential game where, hey, this could be a difficult, game. And they pulled it out and they won both games of the road trip.
Well, let's roll back the clock to Wednesday night when we played George Mason. Now, it almost seems like it was a week ago because I've
almost
I drank four beers in the second half of the George Washington game. I was so nervous.
Some Bush lattes.
And then I just went right into the Super Bowl. It's kind of a blur, but I do remember this game because Sheldon Edwards, of course, had kind of a coming out party. I think this was the quintessential signature game of Sheldon Edwards and probably the best game I've seen him play since the double overtime game against the Ramblers when he was playing for Valpo. And at the time, I remember thinking, wow, this guy's amazing. And when he signed with us, that was the first thing I thought of. I thought, wow, is this guy an instant plug-and-play guard? I mean, is he going to get us 20 a night? And obviously, the road to Sheldon getting playing time and then also working in this system has taken longer than maybe some people wanted. But, even Drew at the beginning of this year is like, I tell Sheldon to get ready. There's going to be opportunities. you know, and Sheldon always seems to be team first. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, that guy is number one on Twitter in terms of like liking things and reposting yeah. things. I mean, so he's all in on Ramblers, even when he's on the bench. So he it doesn't seem like he's ever lost the mental connection or the, you know, all in with the team.
Agreed.
But to see him come in, be all in and play all in and have this great result. I mean, that just was had to have felt great for him. Obviously felt great for everybody else. We were all loving it.
Yeah, it was fun to watch because I think we all want to see all our guys, all the Ramblers do well. And there's going to be those nights where some guys don't. But then it's really exciting to see the guys that don't get a lot of publicity, i.e., you know, Sheldon or, you know, your Toms or, you know, whoever on the end of the bench, Jalen Quinn, when they have a night like this and everyone just takes a, you know, I think of Jaden Dawson against Tulsa, you know, where they have a game where all of a sudden everyone's like, who's this guy? And then everyone's, because I feel like there's, and I've been trying to wrestle with this last week or so, just like, why is it so fun to be a Ramblers fan when they're doing well? It's because there's not very many of us that are fans. You know, we're you know, I've been kind of following, you know, the likes on Twitter, you know, that Rambler basketball puts out. You know, they may get 100 likes, you know, or they may get 100 views on or 200 views on Twitter or I mean, on YouTube and that kind of stuff. And you're just like, huh, well, if there's only maybe, let's say 1,000 people that really like us and, you know, a couple hundred are liking it, then it's like, we really are the only ones that know this and how exciting, you know, that our guys, because we have a connection with them. And now the greater public is beginning to find out that our guys are good and great stories. And so it's just like, and Sheldon embodied that on Wednesday night last week.
I mean, I'm not a stat guy. And I mean, I could go into the Rambler, you know, there's this thing called College Stats, or I use it on the computer sometimes. And you can yeah. just look at like every season, every player for all time. It's free. I don't know how it's free, but anyway, I cannot remember a line like this. Woo! Hey. Okay. Listen to this blurred line here. Sheldon, 33 minutes. 7 for 12. 6 for 10 from 3-point.
Yeah.
Free throws, 7 for 8. Defensive rebounds, 3. Total rebounds, 3, obviously. Assists, 3. Block shots, 1. And 5 steals, 27 points total. When was the last time you heard a line like that? I mean, that's like a Michael Jordan line.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously a lot of threes there, but still, it's like, that's a crazy line.
That is a crazy line.
That's your blurred lines.
You know you want it. You know you want it.
I mean, seriously, that's a great stat line. So congrats to Sheldon. I mean, amazing. Now, you went crazy on Twitter, you know, praising him and throwing him flowers. And I said, hey, and I DM'd you. I said, hey, let him have 2 games. let him show up yes. for 2 games.
Yes.
And he ended up having a pretty good follow up the next couple nights later at George Washington. So I take it back. Praise Sheldon all you want, Sam.
Well, the thing that I really wanted to praise is the fact of the idea, the notion of here's a guy that's been playing very limited minutes. I mean, I think they said in the Mason broadcast, he may have hit 5 threes all season or something along those lines. And for him to come out and have a game like this, like it just, and Drew mentioned it in the post game. We all have seen this at practice. Well, that means the team sees him prepare, you know, practice. And, you know, but we as fans don't ever get to see practices. So we don't ever get to see him play. And here at this moment, you know, he plays to this effort or has this outcome. And was, you could tell, and then the cinematic highlights showed it, where he was emotional. And it was just like, yeah, love that.
Well, and I love the thing that he said at the end. He's like, this is my first winning season in college basketball.
Man.
And, you know, it's interesting, guys, if you think about it, you know, a guy like Miles Rubin, you know, I'm sure Sheldon, these guys are probably the best player on their sixth grade team. They were like the best player on their freshman team. They were the best player on their varsity team. They get recruited by a D1. My kid is a senior. He's got some friends who are getting recruited, and like a really good basketball player is going D3. And you're like, wow, that guy's going D3. So for a guy to get recruited D1,
he
must be really good, because our team's pretty good. We're ranked in the top 20. We got a kid who's going to go to a D3 school. I mean, you know, we've had D1 guys go, but I mean, my point,
if you think about it, there are a number of guys that have been recruited to Loyola. They were all state champions.
Right.
There was a stretch there.
Yeah.
Like everybody was a state champion.
Yeah. Like St. Thomas was like Mr. Basketball in Nebraska.
Right.
I mean, so these guys have won at every level. Then to get to like Valpo and kind of struggle, then have play last season in Atlantic 10, that's got to be a real challenge to like go, what is it? Man, this is tough.
Yeah, what am I doing?
Yeah. Or to be on the bench. I mean, you think Schweiger was on the bench in high school?
Yeah.
I mean, he probably started every game.
Yeah.
So it's like these guys are learning. It's adversity, right? They're growing, you know, through adversity in some ways. So to see Sheldon come out and put it all together was great.
I was, you know, going back to our previous discussion about the road trip, I think the last time that Loyola had a road trip in conference, I can't find one. Because even like going back to the Valley, yeah, they may have had back-to-back road games, but like you went to Missouri State and then the next game was at Bradley. They're taking a bus to Bradley. So they flew to Missouri State, they came back and then they took a bus. Or, you know, at Southern Illinois at Drake. So that one they might, I know they did not do a, you know, both places or whatever. So it's like,
so have you been listening to me the last couple minutes, or you just been looking at these stats?
No. Yeah. I just wanted to draw back to ideas. Like the road trip is a big deal for these guys that are on the end of the bench, because then there's this tight knit, you know, family. They've talked about this team all the time in the cinematic highlights, this family.
Yeah.
This, you know, this idea that they are family. So number one guy on the team, you know, to all the way down to number 15, you know, the walk-ons, their family, and even, you know, include the managers on that because they go on these road trips. And so I'm
trying to work on my Des Watson impression. We're in a family, bro.
You in a family, bro. You fight with your brother to the end. It don't matter what situation it is. Come on, y'all. Let's get it.
It's kind of, yeah, a little.
We're in a family, man. This is we're playing for a championship. That's what I'm working on.
I mean,
just to add on to this family idea, here's the thing that I'm seeing in this team. This is why it's easy to be a Rambler fan this year. I mean, it's super easy. Is I see everyone buying in. You know, Sheldon, when he was on the bench, he's buying in. He's retweeting. He's, you know, Dame looks like he's just having a ball playing this extra year. Braden looks not as tense as he did last year, which I get why he was tense last year. It was tough last year. He was getting frustrated. He looks really relaxed. You know, even someone like Miles, like if you see him off when he's not the focus, he looks like he's having a great time.
Right.
And you know, guys like Dame, guys like Greg Dolan, they just look like they've been Ramblers forever. They have this Rambler feel to them. And And we've kind of had this for a couple of years now. I mean, like we had, you know, I still see Chris Knight around campus. It's like right. Chris Knight played for us for like 12 months, but he's yeah. like, but he's like a Rambler.
But now he oversees the NIL. Yeah.
Tate Hall lives on the north side. You know, yep. he played for what, 2 years for us, right? 2 years or 3 years?
I know he was on the, he was with the team, I want to say for 3 years, but played only two.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've got even Braden, you know, came from Oakland. We've got these transfers.
can I just say something about the yeah. Oakland thing? Yeah. I find this hilarious. Okay. He played 1 year at Oakland.
Yeah.
He is now, as a grad student, he has graduated from Loyola University Chicago.
Right.
So he has a diploma from Loyola and yet, you know, comes from Oakland. Like, he played one season at Oakland.
Well, Jimmy P was making that comment because I think yes, he knows the I think he knows the coach at Oakland.
Yes, he definitely knows
and
the coach.
And, you know, I'm sure when you're looking at these sheets from players you don't know that well, if you have any connection, you try to...
Yes, you hammer that.
You
yes.
hammer the connection. And especially right. if you know like a program that maybe people don't know about that right. that has a good coach... It's like, well, of course, if we don't, we might not know this guy, but he came from this school. So it's like
yes.
In art history, what's it called? What's the word is provenance. Right as I looked it up, right as I was about to look it up, I remembered it. So the point of it is I think Jimmy P, when he sees someone like Braden Norris and he's name dropping Oakland, it's because he knows the Oakland program. And
yeah, he knows Campy.
And maybe he hasn't seen Braden play, you know, or seen Braden play very much, but he knows,
right.
but he knows the coach, he knows the system. And so he's like, hey, right. that probably kid's probably pretty good. He came out of Oakland. He's looking good today.
And he did call out a number of times that he reminds him of the kid Kraft from Ohio State. Oh, by the way, he's from Ohio, but he knows that guy. So,
all right. So obviously, you know, we got to give the Heart and Hustle Award, the Matt the Hammer Hawes Award
to
Shell. And you might be saying, Matt, doesn't this break your own fake rules about who you give? who you give? Wait, Matt's my name, by the way. Dauber. I'm sorry. Dauber. Aren't you breaking your own rules for this thing? But here's the thing. Matt the Hammer Hawes came off the bench, and he's my right. favorite player. And I loved how he came out. I loved his intensity. I loved what he brought
yes.
off
Go
the
back
bench.
To season one where he...
Into the game. And Shell, for all practical purposes, is coming off the bench. I mean, he, for 2 years in our system, has been essentially part of the bench. And right. now he's gotten this chance because of Dawson going down or just, you know, having some injury problems to get in this starting role. And he's had a couple of starts that were pretty good. And then this start where it's like everything came together. And I
remember previous two games where he started, he had a combined 9 points.
Yeah. And I remember seeing him in that double overtime game 3 years ago where he right. got 20 against us in the Valpo game. Right. And when he signed, I actually thought maybe this is a guy for the next couple of years who's going to be with Braden having these nights all the time. But obviously, you know, getting in our system, getting accustomed to it, fitting in with some of the other guys, it's been a longer road to get here. I also think too,
yes,
didn't he have an injury at one point? Because I remember some tweets maybe last year or last summer, 2 summers ago, where he was talking about adversity. And so I'm wondering if there was something he had to work through physically, but whatever. We don't totally
that might be the case. I don't recall.
I remember something along those lines, but I could be wrong. But regardless, we're here now. 27 points. So we got to give him the Hammer Hawes player of the game. I mean, it's a no brainer.
Love his stat line across the board.
Yeah, it's a
three assists, zero turnovers, five steals.
We already did the blurred lines. Blurred lines. I remember?
But
yeah. It was just an hour ago.
Just what a great game for a guy that, you know, has not had very many opportunities and now had an opportunity and showed out. And just love that.
Well, was there a JB Giant play of the game? Was there a kind of a turning point in this game for you?
Turning point. I mean, for me, again, it goes back to in the flow of the game, you know, Ramblers were chasing the whole game. They caught Mason and then
we're chasing, bro.
But I feel like this moment was key. It was coming. Dame had just gotten a bucket, you know, a layup, you know, taking kids to school. And then they come back down the court. After a timeout, I feel like Drew this up of like, hey, we know they're going to double Dame when he gets the ball again. And sure enough, they get it into the post with Dame. He's working. And all of a sudden, Braden Norris's defender, who was, and I can pull it up real quick. It was the
Antoine Smith Jr.
No, it was
Trey Autry.
Baraka Okiji, who was a freshman. He was guarding Braden, and all of a sudden he says, hey, I need to double Dame because that guy's killing us. He leaves Braden all alone in the corner. Dame automatically recognizes it, passes out to Braden, and Braden, without hesitation, nails the three and just swishes, you know, does the three into the veins, you know, and it's just like, and at that moment, game over. Air went out of the gym. You know, they were in it, you know, because it was a 2-point game at that point. And, you know, they get a stop. They come down, you know, the tie ball game maybe. But instead, they're now chasing five. And this is where then, you know, they got a foul and the game was over.
Well, and
their coach talked
about a timeout late where, you know, it was a 2-point game or something, and he said his team had their heads down. They just, you know, they just were kind of had this defeated attitude. Yeah. And he goes, man, I don't think we're going to pull this one out. So the Ramblers just really got him at the end.
They did, because yeah, they went up by five. They miss a three, they get a free throw. Yeah. The closest they ever got was 3 points. And then, you know, Dame comes down, hits free throws. And salted the game away. So, yeah, it was just that moment where it was like the three was just, I mean, that was a dagger three. And it was beautiful to see Braden get that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we probably, because we always give the hammer haws to bench players, we sometimes take Braden for granted. But, yes, man, what a great year he's having.
Particularly because of that game where he had no fouls in the first half. And in the first few minutes of the second half, he gets 4 fouls and he's out of the game for like a big chunk. You know, he had made at that point, he was one of only made 1 3. And then that was his second shot. Second made basket of the game was that dagger three with 1:30 left.
Well, and this just speaks to something you've said before, maybe offline, the idea that one of the things our depth affords us is we can handle the weirdest thing ever. I don't think I've ever seen Braden with 4 fouls anytime I can remember. All within the
span of like 2 minutes.
Yeah. So we weathered that partly because we had guard play that kept us in the game. And so to have him come back in and put that in is great, but it just speaks to our depth. I mean, can you imagine these other teams where they're like, you know, they're struggling with Miles and they get him out of the game. And then all of a sudden Dame comes in and starts doing his okie doke. And he, you know, he's getting these and ones. And then he comes out and Miles comes back in and starts blocking, or, you know, Braden hands off to Greg Dolan. And there's not a huge drop off in terms of distribution or, you know, someone even more different would be like Jalen Quinn comes in and now he's taking you to the hoop with his left hand. I mean, it's just like the depth on our team, we're really starting to see the benefits of how well we play together. and this rotation. So, great end of the game. Let's take a break and come back, stay in the DMV and talk about George Washington.
Washington.
Oh, and I know, Sam, you are
Kendrick Lamar. I love Kendrick.
You're a huge.
I know you're not a fan.
You're a huge Kendrick Lamar fan.
I know you're not a fan, but you know DNA. Yeah, I'm popping that in the headphones all the time.
And of course, that's from what album, Sam? You don't know. You're trying to pretend.
No one knows what it means. But it's provocative.
Not a clue.
Not a clue. Yeah, you were watching the Super Bowl, right? And you were having to look up all the performers.
Just one.
Wait, did you have to look up her? Is that the one?
When she came out, I was like, I didn't recognize her. And I'm like, what? She looks really familiar. But I'm like, and so of course, then Twitter revealed that it was her. And I love the interaction I saw on Twitter. It was like, this is the quintessential now, the new version of who's on first, you know, with parents and kids. You know, parents are like, who is that? And the kids all saying, it's her. No. What is her name? It's her.
Okay, boomer. Just brought this podcast to a screeching halt.
I know all her Gen Z fans.
The funny thing about her sometimes I have to temper my excitement to see someone, you know, because my wife's sitting next to me. So, Alicia Keys comes out and I'm like, oh, it's Alicia Keys. Interesting. she's good. She's good. I like her. But then when her came out, I was like, oh my God, it's her. And then I had to be like, yeah, she's just, yeah, her.
Her.
I had to like,
yes, I'm a fan.
Take a step back. So anyway, my wife's like, I know you. Don't even play. Ooga. Yeah.
Ooga.
It's like she's got the guitar on, those glasses.
Yes.
But you know her from the Nationwide commercial, right? You rocked that Nationwide commercial with her. Nationwide,
yes. But also she was in a movie that my family's a big fan of.
Yes, please.
Yesterday with
Jennifer Garner. So yeah, we saw the Super Bowl yesterday and for those of you who are listening to the Two Ramblers podcast, this has been a yeoman's task, this podcast. We did an hour and a half before the Super Bowl last night, and I forgot to hit record. Ow.
Ow.
Gold.
Too many Bush lattes.
Comedy gold, though. So we lost that, and then we lost part of this episode today. So we're really giving you a refined, curated Two Ramblers experience today.
So if you want to produce the Two Ramblers and help us out from the moving on out, DM us.
Yes.
We'll gladly accept applications.
All right. Let's stay in the DMV with the G-Dub. What did you see in this game?
Slow. That's the word that comes to mind. I said it in episode or part take two of this podcast was flow. This game was about flow. In the first half, Loyola, the flow of the game went towards Loyola. And in the second half, the pendulum swung and flow was going towards GW. And this is something that, Jimmy P, as we have grown to love, he referenced, how things trickled down from the NBA, and he was talking about movie picks and all that kind of stuff.
No, he's talking about screens.
Screens.
So in the NBA, now, when they set screens, they over-exaggerate this pause and then roll to the hoop.
Because they have a way more opportunities for those big guys to then do the pick and pop. And so they want to make sure so there's a lot of guys get antsy because they want to get to the three to hit the three. And so because they're making more of an effort to say, you got to pause. And it's trickled down to the, college ranks as well. We've seen this happen a number of times to the Ramblers, as well as against the Ramblers.
Right. I've seen Miles get called for this a bit. Yes. He's a little too antsy. Or
Dame a couple times. Yeah.
Yeah.
But flow is something that happens in the NBA where you're watching a game and in the first half or first quarter, you're like, oh, the Bulls are down like 15. Like, oh man, this game sucks. I'm going to turn this off. And then all of a sudden you get a ding on your phone and they're up three. Like, what the hell happened? An 18-point swing? How does that happen? It's just flow, the flow of the game. You know, guys get subbed in, get subbed out, and, you know, you may have a big lead, and all of a sudden you lose a big lead, and you're down big, and then you come back. But what really transpires, as you see this time and time again in the NBA, and then now even more so in NCAA, what happens in the last 5 minutes? Because that tells you what, who has the mental capacity or mental, you know, toughness to will this game to a win, or does not have that and then therefore loses. And in years past, especially last year in particular, this was a game at with 5 minutes left. The Ramblers were down seven, and many Rambler fans were saying, all right, I'm going to turn the game off, go walk the dog, or, you know, I'm anxious. You know, last year we lose this game by 18. Because we're trying to foul, and then they make all their free throws, and this game's out of reach. This year, 5 minutes to go, the flow goes back towards the Ramblers. They knock shots. They get defensive stops. And before you know it, they got an 8-point win.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, yeah, this game, if it was last year, I mean, Bishop got 40 on us last year.
Yep.
And he had 25 today, 10 for 11 from the line, though. So he went to the line a lot.
But he's 6-19. 6-19. He missed 13 shots.
Yeah. So it's obvious that, you know, that this game could have easily gone a different direction. But I do think, again, we're playing 40 minutes against these teams, and we're starting to kind of grind out these wins at the end when the other team runs out of gas. And you saw it on this game in particular. When Darren Buchanan Jr. goes out of the game, he played 23 minutes.
He was a hoss.
He comes out of the game, so it's one of their bigs, and, you know, Jimmy P. and who's the other guy? BK?
Byron Kerr, BK.
They don't have a sideline reporter, but they can see him off camera.
Riding the bike.
He's trying to ride the bike, and then he hits the handlebars, they said. He was very upset. So he wasn't, and so, you know, they said, he's probably not coming back in.
Yeah, he's questionable.
So they kind of realized they lost him. Yeah. And then in the same sequence, around the same period of time.
That was about the 13-minute mark, and then the 10-minute mark, stretch.
Stretch. Babatunde Akinbola fouls out. Now, this is significant for you guys who have not followed Atlantic 10 that closely. This guy is the leading shot blocker in our league. Not Miles Rubin, but this guy.
Number three.
Yeah. And Babatunde
averages three blocks a game.
Yeah.
Miles, 2.2.
Yeah. Babatunde Akinbola also is the leading rebounder in our league.
I looked it up, Dobby. He's not. Keyshawn Hall, the guy we played at Mason, he is at 7.2. Akinbola is in the top 10, but not.
At one point I thought he was high in rebounds.
He is high, but he's not that high. Actually, okay. The Buchanan guy that went out with the injury, he's number nine in the A-10 for rebounding.
Okay, my bad. So what I'm saying is, you got two quality rebounders going out, and you have a great shot blocker. And if you look at Dame's first half, where he struggled, I think he was adjusting his shot, and that's why it kept hitting the front rim. Or his footwork, he couldn't quite get to the Dame comfort zone. You know, there's that place where Dame gets to on the floor and it's going in.
Yes.
He was a step out of that space. And so the ball just didn't quite get in. And Dame knew it at the end of the game when they interviewed him. He was like, yeah, I was struggling in the first half. And it's because those two guys.
Yeah.
So both of them are now out, which sets up at the perfect time of the game for Dame to put on the professor jacket with the tweed and the leather sleeves. And he
leather elbow patches and the pipe, pulls out the pipe.
And he takes a young Antoine Smith Jr. to school on three separate possessions, getting and ones to essentially really put us ahead. I mean, that was such a big turn of events. Those two guys going out, and then a freshman guarding, you know, a guy who is, you know, already probably on his way to a PhD in basketball. I mean, what is he played 6 years now?
Something like that.
No, five years. He's on his fifth year.
Right.
Because as Jimmy P said, they don't offer that fifth year or something.
The Ivy League. Yeah, they don't have the graduate school.
They don't have the graduate school. You can't go to graduate school. You got to go somewhere else.
Man, his voice. Loved his accent.
He loved, he was like, you know, these schools, Davidson.
You know.
These smart schools.
Is it Cornell?
Cornell, Davidson.
Davidson says, well.
And then how about where hey.
You're on a roll. It's like, I don't want to.
Hey, how about where he name drops Murphy's in Dartmouth.
Murphy's Tap Room in Manchester.
Yeah.
New Hampshire. Like, seriously, Rambler fans. You don't understand the comedic gold he was in that game.
I don't know,
a tap room. Does anybody know where Dartmouth is? It's actually in Manchester.
I thought Dartmouth was in Providence, Rhode Island. That's how out of it I am.
Of course, you thought St. Joe's was St. John's. And you thought the Billikens were the Pelicans. So, but yeah, I mean, to name drop a tap room in Manchester, which I had to look it up. Because I didn't know where it was, but I looked at it's literally a block away from campus.
Now, if we've already told this anecdote, we apologize. We're re-recording the second half of this episode.
So if you know that it's a block away. So this was, I mean, to us 90s Ramblers, this is Hamilton's to Loyola.
90s callback.
This is what we're talking about here. Everyone in 90s Ramblerdom knows Hamilton's. That's Murphy's Tap Room, and he dropped it. Casually dropped that. Dave's wanting to go to Murphy's again.
Yeah, no.
Good
stuff. Good stuff. Just the end of that game, the sequence couldn't have been better.
Yeah, Shell hits the Shell front irons a three, offensive rebound. Drew called this out in the post game comments. We're gonna crash the glass. He recognized that because at that 10-minute mark, you had Buchanan was out. Akambola's out. So now, hey, let's crash the glass. And they did that. And then went right back to Shell from the same exact spot, hits the three. They go down. They miss a bucket. And then Braden comes down, hits his three, which I believe that was the only because for some reason the Ramblers went exceptionally cold in the second half from three. And those were the only two that they made. And then they come down, they get another stop, and then that's where then Dame goes to take the kid to school, and then Loyola goes ahead. But here was something that I thought was really fascinating. The Ramblers go ahead by one. Crowd is all of a sudden like, what's going on? And all of a sudden, they go down. They had this unbelievable behind-the-back pass to JBE the fourth, who nails the three with like one of those like dagger threes that just never barely hits the net, and the crowd just goes absolutely crazy. Then here's what... key sequence. We go down. We do one of those moving pick things. Dame gets called for it. Offensive foul. We're like, oh no, here we go. They come down. They do the same exact thing. Moving pick.
Screen. No, it's a screen.
Moving screen.
Yeah.
He gets, the Smith kid gets called. We go right back down. Dame takes him to school for the second and one, and then never trailed after that.
Yeah, I mean... The end sequence was great, and just to have the balance of this team, where, you know, in this particular game, was this the game? No, now I'm getting confused with the other game, but just to have Miles and Dame be able to play off one another, they basically have the reverse numbers from the last game.
Right.
You know, Miles had 12 last time and Dame had 9. This time, Dame has 13 and Miles has 6. So just the fact that these guys are now trading buckets, essentially. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we did this a lot in the last few years where we were kind of adding up the center play between the three-headed monster with Welch and Huddy and Chris Knight last year. Or 2 years ago. Was it last year?
Yeah, two years
ago. 2 years ago. We were adding up those numbers. In the same way, we're doing that now with Miles and Dame. And so just the idea that they're flipping back and forth is great. And so, it was just a fun game to watch. And Is there a player of the game that we want to give it to? Are we giving it back to Dame? To Dame? Is Dame just running away with players of the game this year?
Yeah, I think you got to get. I mean, just all three of his and ones all happened in that last 5 minutes of the game. So here was a guy that struggled up until that point. I mean, he had 9 points essentially in the last 4 minutes of the game. Last 4 minutes. And so it's like the reality of like he struggled. He was, you could tell, was not his normal self and was affected by their great post play. Those guys have caused havoc for a lot of people. And here they get out of the game and then he goes to work. And just in a testament to the fact that, hey, he stuck to it. He goes, I realized, hey, we can still affect this game. And he did it. And then get the baskets to begin with, but then to go 3 for 3 on all of those free throws, when all of in those junctures of scoring were critical to the Ramblers getting the lead and taking it away from Washington.
Well, and it would be worth if Dame didn't have such critical baskets at the final stretch, this probably would have been going to Jay Quinn. I mean, listen to Jay Quinn's numbers. 4 for 6 for field goal. Mm-hmm. 1 for 2 from three. He's been able to stroke that three a couple times with the left hand, as Jimmy P said, the left hand.
Three rebounds.
Three rebounds. I mean, this great little stat line for
your backup point guard. Yeah.
Yeah. For our future point guard, probably. So, But Dame obviously was so clutch. I mean, is that basically that sequence, that last 5 minutes? Is that our JB Giants play of the game? Like just that combination. Yeah, I mean,
because it was literally like one after another. Like, and even to, because GW, unlike Mason, GW did score. I mean, that three that Bishop hits, and then the other kid, they did another thing where they scored again, where like they got to like two or something. Yeah, Hutchinson, Jacoy, he hits a bucket. And I thought they had like a layup or something. Maybe I'm missing that. It was earlier. But it was like, they fought back. And so it's like back and forth. The Ramblers just were like, it almost like a boa constrictor, just constricting. So the tighter they struggled, the more they constricted. And played really good defense down the stretch at that five minute mark.
Yeah, and just to shout out some of these stats too. Ramblers second chance points 15-8. We're over them. Points off of turnovers 18-6. Bench points 24-12. We doubled them up on bench points. Points in the paint 36-20.
That's what they're known as in their bent or on their paint touches.
Yeah. Fast break points, 10-0.
That's amazing.
I mean, honestly, if Bishop didn't go to the line as many times as he did, this game could have been a blowout. I mean, we could have won 81-63. You know, the amount of times he went to the line was kind of ridiculous. But great, great road trip. This has got to be good for a team that already feels super gelled as a team. We're in a family, bro. And they're playing for a championship, bro. These guys are already tight. I mean, some of these guys feel like they've been Ramblers forever. And they've only been Ramblers for like 12 months or 8 months.
Less than that.
So they already feel tight. So I can't imagine what a 5-day road trip to the nation's capital, going to these monuments, as Jimmy P pointed out, they went to the monuments,
the museums.
How cool that would be.
The Capitol Grill.
Georgetown. They went to Georgetown
for practice.
Yeah. For practice. I mean, that's got to be great to be at a place like Georgetown. I mean, any of us who love basketball would love to visit Georgetown. I mean, so the idea that these kids are playing at Georgetown, it's really good for the bench players too, because they're all there, as you mentioned, the managers. So it can only help us, and it creates, honestly, a little more of that environment of a tournament. So, you know, they're going to they're potentially going to be in Brooklyn for 4 or 5 days. So, you know, if we it's just setting us up well. I don't know if they have any more of these. Are we going to Philly for a couple nights or anything like that?
No, I think looking at the schedule, they go to Rhode Island, then come home to play Mason. Then they go to Bonaventure to come home and play Dayton. And then they go to Davidson and come home to play LaSalle. So, no, there's no more two-game road
trip. So this is it. And this is a great time of the season, halfway through. So, all right, man. I had a question for you. Okay, so we got to this week's game against St. Joe's on Valentine's Day.
Yes.
I'm going with my
date. Sunday against Rhode Island.
I'm going with my date, Coach Van. Somehow nice. We both got both of our wives to sign off on a Valentine's night basketball game. We both had to check with our SOs. So I'm going to be there, and it's going to be the It's All a Blur theme night where they're giving away the Drake sweatshirts. And of course, we've put out a bounty on 2 sweatshirts.
Yeah.
I, by the way, I do not need a big sweatshirt for myself. This is for a kid. I just need a medium or a large, and then you need an extra large. So we're looking for those 2 sizes. I will be in section 209 with 2 crisp $50 bills for any any Wolfpack members who want to come up to the old guys section and help a brother out. So if anyone needs some quick bucks for Canes afterwards or
Chipotle Hilal guys. Hilal guys still open? I drove by the other day. I didn't see if
I think so. I think Hilal guys is still there, but I think they took over for 5 guys.
Oh, so, you're right. You're right.
So I don't know. I'll have to look. I haven't been over there in a while. They're not a sponsor, so they might not be there anymore. So
well, I know Pork Chop's not open.
So that's coming up. You know, I almost forgot to give away, you know, the JB's Giant play of the game. Of course, I'm going to just because it's a big sequence, I'm just going to pick out one play that I enjoyed. I really enjoyed the Patrick Mwamba hang on the rim dunk. He took some crap for, you know, not representing the script in a professional way from some of our Twitter people. But I kind of lead with my heart, and we got ragdolled by this league last year.
Yes.
And so if he kind of hangs on a half second too long and then has some choice words when he lands, I like it. As I said, I want to tech every game, and Texan wins. I love it. We're getting Texan. We're getting wins. I don't care. I like it. So I didn't like that the clock stopped there, right? Or something, right? Yeah. Didn't the clock stop?
Well, they call the tee, and the clock stops, and they get a free throw and got the ball. Yeah. But then they never scored again. So
right. But anyway, my point is I love the swag. I love that kind of attitude. Because think about it, Loyola is essentially hanging on the rim a little bit this year. Every team looking...
Yeah, this is a revenge tour. It totally is.
Every A-10 Twitter guy who's looking at, you know, especially some of these guys who haven't played yet, they got to be looking at the standings going, is this right?
Because you think about it, we have not played Dayton, nor have we played Bonaventure yet, or Rhode Island. And Rhode Island, I'm not worried about. But Bonaventure, who is chasing us, is thinking, they got to come back at some point. Got to come back to the pack.
Yeah, there's this point where, and I'm even looking at the stat sheet, and I'm doubting myself. We're 9-2 in the Atlantic 10, and other teams have got to be looking at it going, is that right? You know? Because, yeah, a couple of wins, you're like, we heard it, right? We beat St. Louis. Well, they're at the bottom. Oh, we beat Davidson. Well, they were off. They had some guys who were hurt. And now it's kind of like, wait, 9 wins and you're still saying that stuff? It's not quite.
No, you know what? I'd be interested to listen to 3Bid this week and also A-10 Talk is because now we've won at Fordham, at St. Joe's. The St. Joe's one, I think, is a big one because I think that's a big win on the road. And then to win both sets of these games, I think many people said they'll go 1-1 on this trip. Maybe even 0-2. because, you know, GW had only lost one game at home. They GW, I don't know if you guys remember this, had beaten VCU. And to take both of those games and to be, you know, four wins, 4-1 now on the road, I think is unimaginable, because last year we only won four games in all of our A-10 season. And to win already four games on the road is pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, it's funny. Three-Bid League, I think, is putting on a podcast today or tomorrow, and they asked for questions, you know, for their mailbag segment. And I kind of thought, oh, it'd be funny to ask a question. But before I even thought about it, I looked, and about five or six Rambler fans had all asked Rambler-specific questions. I go, hey, guys, little on the nose, right? Let's just act like we've been here before. Hey, Three-Bid League, what do you think about Miles Rubin? You know, it's like, hey, Three-Bid League, what do you think our chances are in Brooklyn? It's like all these. I get it.
Yeah. So, hey, in A-10 world this week, Duquesne goes to Dayton, the Battle of the D's. But, and this is significant because, you know, we're now tied
with the Battle of the D-bags.
Nice. But the fact that Duquesne just went to St. Bonaventure and thumped them on Saturday, 75-69. So just that, you know, on the road at, you know, St. Bonaventure, which is a hard place to play, Duquesne wins. So that's a huge win for them. And then Richmond plays a host on Wednesday night. Same night we're playing St. Joe's. UMass is hosting Richmond is hosting UMass. And UMass had a big win against Rhode Island on Sunday. And so now that we're watching scoreboards, because, you know, we're almost locked into the top four. But hey, why not win the whole thing? We're only a game behind Richmond. It could conceivably, you know, that, you know, Richmond could stumble again. They did against VCU, and they have some more games coming up. And so, and I think Dayton as well still has play. They got to play VCU again. They got to play us. And so it's like, why not? You know, so.
Why not us? We're a family, bro.
We're family, bro.
Playing for a championship. All right, man, let's get out of here.
So good to have Dame time. You still got that on the board there?
Oh, shoot. What did I do? I missed it.
Dame time.
That's why we call him Dame time.
Yes. So this week against St. Joe's, Christico. Wait, I don't know what. Their big center did not play against St. Louis. And if he doesn't play, I really see that could be a difficult for them to keep up with the Ramblers. So hopefully is played and we get a full squad. But yet, I honestly want to see a big win. Cause as you said, I want to see the Hawk wings be clipped on Wednesday night.
Yes, I agree. So let's go Ramblers this week and beat St. Joe's. That's probably the closest team to a rival we have right now in terms of my mind, like a team I really want to beat.
We've played them the most in these 2 years. So yeah, I want to see us thump them.
They beat us three times last year.
They thumped us really bad last year at their home, and I want to see us do that to them this year.
You've been listening to the Monumental Sports Network. We're proud to host the Two Ramblers podcast out of Chi-Town with Sister Jean.
Sister Mary Jean.
I was in Chicago and I had an Italian beef sandwich with Dobber. And he always gets hot peppers.
All right. See you guys next week. Go Ramblers.
Go Ramblers!